I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Raphael.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless. So, Miss Foster.
That's me.
We're here today, and we're going to do something a little bit different.
This is a very special episode.
This is a very special episode of OMFG, and we're prone to it's about time for one.
Yep.
You know,
we like to take it to the serious subjects every now and then.
Yeah, take a little deeper dive. So, there's a woman that I met. I met at a store.
Yes.
And we got into a conversation, as I like to do.
Okay. Definitely.
She is a dating counselor specifically for the Orthodox Jewish community.
Great.
She's Orthodox. And her focus is getting people married. You know, so that's what she's not a matchmaker. You know, that's not what she's up to. She just works with individuals and tries to figure out where they're at and where marriage is for them and how to get them to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's fantastic. I love a lot of what she has to say just about the process of finding someone. And I felt like in our times where, you know, everything feels so transitional and, like, temporary and, you know, a lot of the kids we've talked to, it seems like
They're not in relationships. They're just dating and dating and dating.
There's a lot of Netflix and chill going on.
Yeah.
And there's not so much, like, this is what I want out of life and this is how I'm going to go for it, you
yeah.
know?
No, it's true.
In terms of mate.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, their social media accounts that they have a vision for and
sure.
ambition and they
sure.
have a plan. So I thought I would, you know, I thought maybe we would bring her in. Dahlia Karnofsky of All My Single Friends was going to give a call because she is dating out there in the world. You know, she has a show about it and she also is doing it right now because I think she broke up with her boyfriend when she was on
That's right, yeah.
our show. And she's dating, like, a wild woman, by the way. I think
Great.
I ran into her. She said she had had 6 dates that weekend. I
oh,
mean, this
my goodness.
Girl is not playing around.
Okay.
But she was like, she wanted to talk to Miss Hannah Raquel Schusterman. How did I do? You try
you
it.
Okay.
You do it better.
Hannah Raquel Schusterman.
Okay. Well, you have the history and the. You do it again. I actually really like. Let me hear it again.
Hannah Raquel Schusterman.
God. Damn, you're good.
Well, we're going to have to edit the G-D out of there.
Oh, okay. Beep.
Yeah.
We'll add a beep to it.
Yeah.
So we'll bring her in and we'll get, you know, a little different, a little something different today.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. OMFG! So we have with us Hannah Raquel Schusterman. So excited to have
Hello.
You here.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We needed you.
Excited. Yes.
Oh.
We really needed you.
Wonderful. I'm happy to be here.
I was saying in the introduction, you know, I know that you do a lot of counseling and helping to get people together, dating counseling in the Orthodox community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I personally think you're amazing. And I think you have so much wisdom to give people. And so, you know, we interview the young people. We interview mm-hmm. tend to interview people 25 and under. And
right.
we've noticed that we haven't heard that many of the kids. And they're young, you know, but we haven't heard, whereas like my girlfriends would talk about, you know, how old do you want to be when you get married? You know, that was a conversation
right.
we would have. And we're not really hearing that's even in the plan. You know, not that it's totally not in the plan, but it's not something they're putting out there.
Yes.
You know, so I actually have somebody, one of our past guests, Dahlia, who has been dating for quite some time, and she wanted to talk to you. So I thought maybe we could start out with a call.
Great.
And then we'll get into some of your principles and your kind of outlook on finding love.
Great. Wonderful.
Oh, okay, cool. Wait.
Hello?
Hi, Dahlia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You've got Emily here.
Hello.
Hi, Emily.
You've got Hannah Raquel Schusterman.
Hi.
Oh, my God. So excited.
So, did you have a question for our dating counselor?
I did.
What you got?
Should I say it? Okay. So, my question is, so I'm what they call a serial monogamist. I like to do two-year relationships, and I always get sick of people after 2 years. Well, not sick of people, but maybe I'm just like, okay, I honestly can't justify, like, being okay with this anymore. But I'm also an optimist, so whenever I get into anything, I'm like, no, just, like, stay and, like, make it work, and, like, we know this and that, but, like, still, you should stay because you can't, you know, you shouldn't have, like, a checklist that you just get rid of the person right away. I think you should stick it out a little bit, but I think that's getting me into some trouble, and I am getting a little older where I'm like, I don't really want to spend another 2 years with someone just to find out that they're never going to change.
I love that question.
That's a great
question. So my question is, how do you know if you stay? Because then you also hear of couples that are like, oh, when we got together, they were like this, and then they totally changed, and you're like, wow.
Mm.
So do you stay? Or okay. How do you know when to go, and how do you know when to stay, and what do I do?
Oh, wonderful. Good.
Oh, thank you.
That's a great question, and
thank you.
I hope you'll get a result from this talk. Okay. First of all, you can't expect people to change. That's for first of all. If you're going to wait 2 years for somebody to change, you can wait 10 years or 15 years, and they might not change. You really cannot assume that people will change. So are you interested in getting married?
I think so, yes. Although right now I'm like, I just can't imagine not getting sick of someone after 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I would love to not. I would love to, you know, have that thing where you just love them more every year. I just don't.
That's good. Okay, so I'm glad because marriage is wonderful. And it's really a lifetime committed relationship with somebody that's right for you. If a person wants to get married, it's really important to making a commitment to getting married. In other words, your dating right from the beginning is going to be for the purpose of getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's different than the way a lot of people do it.
For sure.
But those people don't get married so much. But if...
So are you thinking that, like, right now, she's just getting into, from what you've heard, she's getting attached to someone, and then it's petering out after 2 years. So are you thinking maybe from the beginning, her intention with that person is not, she's not looking for this person as a husband?
That's correct.
So that's why she's getting stuck in something?
That's correct. And there's more to it than that. That you have to ask yourself, why are you going out? So a lot of people want, you know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or they want to have fun, or they're looking for a social companion. So then it's, you know, it's kind of fun to have somebody to hang out with. But that's not the way you get married. In order to get married, first of all, you have to have a commitment to getting married. Within yourself. And then you have to kind of sit down with yourself, and this is the work that I do with people, and figure out what it is that you need in a person. And what that means is really, like, obviously something like good communication is important, but for some people, they want somebody who's responsible, or a good listener, or down to earth, or somebody who has good values, or morality, or is trustworthy. Trustworthy is quite basic. Or has a good sense of humor, or giver. You know, we have a word for this in Yiddish, a mensch. But it means somebody who's really a person, a human being. But different people are different. So it's not true that everybody wants the same thing. Some people want somebody who's really down to earth and responsible. Other people want people who are, you know, good listeners, and they'll sit and talk to you and listen. And it's not all the same. So you have to ask yourself what it is you want. And then going into the dating, you have that idea of what you're looking for.
Do you do that, right, Dahlia?
I think that I do. But I think also I'm such kind of an impulsive person who loves adventures and challenges that the people I tend to be excited about and attracted to are people who probably aren't good long-term partners. But I have a hard time, like, getting excited about kind of more safe people.
Okay, so...
Do you hear that a lot?
So here's the thing. Words like excited and safe, those are interesting words. First of all, you have to make a decision that you're going to go out with somebody who's safe and trustworthy. And if you don't feel that they are, you have to get out of there fast.
Yes.
You know, totally, that's something totally. that people think that somebody is exciting, but that's not really the point. So there are two lists.
Right.
This is a big piece. There are two lists. One list is what I call the mind list, and the other one is the heart list. And you have to have both. What does that mean? That you need to consider the person that you're meeting with your mind. In other words, you have to consider his qualities or her qualities, whoever it is. Somebody, is this a person who's suitable for you? Somebody you respect? Like you said, is it somebody who's safe for you? Is it somebody you could build a life together with? So you have to ask yourself these questions with your mind. So he either has these qualities or he doesn't have these qualities. Mm-hmm. And the other list is the heart list. The heart list is, do you feel drawn to this person? Is this somebody you like to spend time with? Is this somebody you like and you feel good with? But what's very interesting is you have to get a check on both lists. One list will not do it. Because if it's somebody that you just like with your heart, but like you said, you're waiting for him to change, he won't change. So what happens after 2 years is that you don't like him anymore. You liked him, but you don't like him anymore because he never had the qualities that you needed. Then it also goes the other way, that if somebody has really good qualities, but you don't enjoy being with him, so then you can't marry him either because you have to have mind and heart. Now,
So how do you do that?
Oh, good. I love it. Okay, so in other words, you have to take responsibility for it.
So, like, what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dahlia, is that you could maybe take a little more time because if you like monogamy, which is probably a good ingredient to, like, trying to find a husband, right, or trying to get married. Like, if you like monogamy, that's, like, half the battle.
Right.
So there's that, which is great. But maybe there's not enough time taken before you hop in with that person you're going to be with for 2 years to really, like, ask yourself those questions. So maybe
definitely. And I think that's, I'm trying to do that now because I've realized that I tend to be like, I'm excited about you. You're excited about me. Let's do this. And then 2 years later, I'm like, whoops, maybe I could have slowed that process down a little bit.
So this is what people pick up from watching a lot of movies. Oh my gosh, yes, here totally. He is. He's so amazing. Ah, and the drama begins. But
right.
I don't, this, first of all, this shouldn't take 2 years.
Feedback.
So I'm just saying that.
That's feedback, Dahlia.
You know.
Wait, what was it?
They shouldn't take 2 years.
2 years. I am. Right. I think there's a, excuse me for saying this, but there's a lot you can find out in 2 weeks.
I agree. You should know.
If you go out with somebody, maybe it's two or three, but if you go out with somebody, two or three times a week and you're meeting him. So how can you tell? So you have to first of all, this is what a lot of people are not willing to do, or they don't understand that you need to do it, is that you have to ask questions on the date.
Are you asking questions?
No.
No at all? Not, you're really not like digging?
Well, I mean, maybe sometimes, but I also like, my last relationship in the first 2 weeks, he was like, I want to, we're going to do this. I want to get married. Like, I want, you know, to be the father of your children, all this in like 2 weeks. And then like a year in, he was like, oh, I'm not.
So I need to tell you somebody.
Ready for that. Like, how am I supposed to?
To me,
you know,
somebody.
I know that's a special case. But
somebody who says that in the first couple of dates, that's kind of a red flag to me. Because he's not, you know, I don't know what he's a cereal, but whatever kind of cereal he is, I don't trust that. Because if somebody really wants to get married, they have to give it enough time to see if you are a suitable person to be a wife and a mother
right.
and the person that he'd like. But this thing about questions is really important. Because in order to find out about another person, you have to ask them questions. It's really funny because people ask if you want to buy a car. You don't just say, oh, that's a cute car. I'll take that car. You ask, you know, tell me about the car. What kind of car is it? How does it work? What does it do? What are the good qualities of it? What does Consumer Reports say? There's a certain amount of checking it out before you say, okay, I want that car.
Quick question.
Right.
I want to just ask Emily. Are you the kind of girl, like my friend Carrie, she asked guys questions. Oh. I did not. Did you?
Oh, I ask a lot of questions.
You do?
Yeah. And I am also very
What kind
upfront.
Of questions are we talking here? Like
okay.
questions like what's important to you in life or questions like...
That's a good one. That's a good one. I don't know
yeah.
if that
what,
would be... I don't think that would be my first question, but I think my first question
no,
would
sorry.
Be... But that is... You got it exactly. That is the kind of question. What's important to you in life? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I would start with something like, you know, tell me about what you do. And I like questions
right.
that are something like, tell me about, and how is that for you? Because if you
uh-huh.
ask kind of, do you like your job? He
That's
will say yes,
it, like,
or,
yes
no,
or no,
and the conversation's over. But if you say, tell me about what
uh-huh.
you do, and he starts telling you about what he does, then you can say, that's really interesting. You know, how come you, what is it that you enjoy there? What's your specialty? Tell me something about that. And you can always say, well, tell me something more about that. People like to
mm-hmm.
be listened to. People like to feel heard. He will feel good that you're asking him these questions because it's a sign that you care. Then there are other. See, the thing is, when people go out, you know, they go out to eat someplace, and they think about the food and they look at people around them. That's not what they should be doing. What they should be doing is looking at the person they're with, and trying to understand who this person is. And your questions are purposeful. In other words, like say that you want somebody responsible and you're asking him about his work, so like, tell me what you do. And you have in your mind that you want to understand if he's responsible. And the answers you get will tell you so much. Like, let's say he says, oh, it's such a great job. You know, it's so easy. And, you know, you hang out with these guys, nice people, and it's so much fun. Maybe once a month you have to put in a report. But to tell you the truth, I really like to hang with these people. Well, this doesn't sound like a very responsible
Ooh.
Person.
I didn't know if they were going to get a yes or a no, but they're not getting a yes.
Because
no.
this person...
Because I was like, oh, they seem amiable and they like people. And like I was
no,
going down
I
the
see
wrong...
No, I that as a no, definitely.
Okay.
But if your aim is to find... Let's say I need somebody responsible and you're trying to find out if he's responsible. And he's just telling him what fun he's have hanging with whoever is there. And you can ask him, well, you know, like when the work comes up, what is that work? And if he tells you things like, yeah, it's not a big deal, he doesn't sound like the kind of person who is responsible. He just wants to get it over and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
He's not into that. But when you're asking questions with a purpose to find out if he has the qualities that you want, you will find those out. And, you know, there are other simple questions. So when you're not working, what do you like to do? And you just listen. And you just listen. You'd
yeah.
be surprised the things that people will tell
you. When you listen.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
Is the window open? Are you in the car? It was just like a
I'm
crazy.
I'm outside. I have to go to my softball game.
Oh, then we should wrap up because it's hard. It was kind of crazy, whatever that was.
Okay, so
I'm
there
sorry.
Was just one more question that I want to just take about staying or going. If he's not suitable for you, go. Just
yeah.
end it. After a few weeks, that's enough. If you have seen that he's not right for you, he doesn't have the qualities you want, just say no. This
just
is
say
not,
no. Don't try and
no.
romanticize it like I do.
Well, that's not that'll get you another 2 years. That's what it'll get you.
Right.
And also,
so ask the questions
you said
in the first few weeks, and if it's not the right answers or I'm not getting the right feeling for what I decide is important to me, I should go.
And just one more thing about what you asked. You said, should I try to make it work? Should I stick it out? So this is a really big thing. When you are married, then you need to make it work.
Right.
When you are married, you are committed, and this is the person you want to be committed to. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, even though he doesn't whatever that you would like, you know, he doesn't hang up his clothes properly, that's too bad. This is who you chose to marry. Right. Make it work. And it's not sticking it out. It's growing. But if it's somebody that doesn't have the qualities you need, just say, it was really nice meeting you, and say no.
Keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dahlia.
Well, this has been great. Thank you, Deanna.
Wonderful.
Thank you, everyone, so much.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I have to run, but this has been very helpful.
Good.
We need a full report for the next time.
Definitely.
Bye.
We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
OMFG! Did you know that women change bra sizes an average of 6 times in their lives? That's why finding the perfect fitting bra can make all the difference. Thankfully, Third Love bras were developed using thousands of real women's measurements and range from size AA to G, including signature half cup sizes. So no matter what your body shape is, you're going to find a fit that's right. And with Third Love's Fit Finder, it only takes 30 seconds to determine the best size and style for your body. So what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to slipping straps, side overflow, and all the rest, and try Third Love today. Third Love stands behind their products so much that they're willing to let our listeners try a bra from their 24/7 collection for free, just paying the $2.99 for shipping. You can even take the tags off, wear it, wash it, and live in it for 30 days to make sure it's your new favorite bra. Then, if you love it, keep it, and they will charge your card. But if you don't love it, you send it back for free, and your car will not be charged. Go to thirdlove.com/OMFG and get started today. That's thirdlove.com/OMFG. OMFG! So you were saying, Emily.
Oh, well, I was saying, you know, one of the things that is important to me is family, and that my future husband at the time, I would always ask, you know, how are you with your family? What is your family relationship like? Especially, how are you with your mother? You know, and that always told me a lot.
Okay,
I felt
so that's a really good question. But I feel like on the first dates, that
not
you don't ask private questions.
And that would fall under private.
And what's your relationship with your mother like?
I think
it's private.
But like maybe that's a little private. But how? But you know, is family important to you? Is that still, doesn't feel that private.
Somebody that I counseled asked that kind of question, is family important to you? And this person said to her, I don't like kids.
The man said that.
The man said to her, I don't like kids. So, you know, when I do this dating counseling, so there's the, you know, getting them ready and what are you looking for and all that. But then during the dating, they'll call me. So she said to me, he said, I don't like kids. What does that mean? So I said, I don't know what it means, but I'll tell you one thing. It could be a red flag and you have to go back in and ask the question again.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe in a different way. So she went back and she said, you know, we were talking about kids and I was trying to understand what you meant. And he just said straight out, I don't like kids.
He said it again.
He said
clear
it again.
As a bell.
Clear as a bell.
Didn't change his answer.
No, because that's what he thinks. Now, you know, just to say impracticality, there are people who will say that this doesn't mean they won't have kids,
right.
But they're saying, keep the kids away from me. I don't like kids. I'm not dealing with them.
Yeah.
You deal with them.
Right.
And then afterwards, when, you know, when the new mother says, you know, could you bring the baby over to me? He says, I don't do kids.
I told you
I don't do kids. So you have to believe what people say.
Yeah.
And then she called me again and she said he doesn't like kids. So I said, so what does that mean to you? She said, I want to marry somebody who does like kids.
Okay.
So I said, so? And she said, I guess I'm not going to go out with him anymore. I said, sound right. That sounds right.
Well, yeah, and it's not rocket science when you talk, you know, when you explain it, it makes sense. But we do so much shuffling around of like, what things could mean. And I think people do a lot of talking to their girlfriends and being like, well, that might be him now because he's working a lot. And do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, and I think I see this a lot. And you know, obviously you're the expert. You tell us if you see this too, is that, you know, I think a lot of women are really wanting the husband. And so you're willing to make the excuses. You're willing to say, oh, but the package is so good. This look, he looks great on paper without necessarily having the facts.
Right.
You're like, you're already married in your mind.
Yes.
And so it's hard for you to see what's really in front of you.
But that's way too fast. We have to have the mind list and the heart list.
Right.
And people have to take responsibility for this and be objective. So when somebody says something that's really, whoa, that's a red flag.
Hear it.
Why did he say that? Don't try to make it work. Don't try to change him. Recognize that his values are not your values, and this is not the kind of person that you want to marry. So just end it. There has to be responsibility and for one's choice. That's why the questions have to be asked.
Do you ever feel like, you know, because I think, like Emily said, a lot of times, especially when you're younger, you know, well, maybe not now, but, you know, but I feel like when I wanted a relationship so badly in my 20s and I didn't know how to get it on any level, you know, and I don't even think I said it out loud to myself, you know, but I was dating some guy who never did I ask him one friggin' question. I asked him zero questions. And then when I found out we weren't together, we weren't monogamous, I was shocked. And he was like, if you ever have a question with somebody you're with, you need to ask them.
That's right. That was his parting word to you.
Yeah. Yes.
But I have to say, this is one of these things that this is me personally, that I feel very strongly about this. When you are dating somebody, there is no we. It's I. Because once you get into we, your objectivity is gone. The question is this what I want? How do I feel about this? Does he have the qualities that I need? There is no we.
Yeah.
That's wow. Really important.
It's kind of revolutionary, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Why, Emily?
Well, it's taking something that I think we all make so complicated.
Right.
And just making it so simple.
Yes. I'm happy about that.
Right.
You know, also, people want a relationship.
Yes. They want to skip to that.
Have a boyfriend, girlfriend. And that is, yes, as you're saying, it's they're coming to a conclusion. I once met a woman on a plane. We were both standing in the back of the plane. She asked me what I do, and I told her that I do this. And she said, oh, my gosh, I am looking for a boyfriend. And this was a woman in her 30s.
Okay.
I said, why do you want a boy? Wouldn't you like a man? And she said, I never thought of that. And then a man came walking by, and he heard this, and he said, you're right about that. You want a boyfriend, you'll get a boy. And I talked to her about this for a little while. And I said, maybe you know a man that you respect and like that could be a candidate. And she looked at me as if a big light bulb went out. And she said, well, I am sitting with my friend.
He is
going someplace with me. We're going to a convention. We've been friends for a long time. I said, is he a man? Is he nice? Is he a good person? Yeah. So I said, maybe you should sit down and look at it from another vantage point.
She needed fresh eyes on it.
Yes, because he's not a boyfriend type.
Right.
He's a responsible grown-up man.
You know,
that was fun, and I hope something good came out of that.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I think one of the most interesting things you said on the call with Dahlia was, you know, that's what you see in movies. And I think that that's what a lot of us expect, you know, that there's going to be this quick romantic falling in love that will last a lifetime. But I think, you know, after you've been through it a few times, you realize that that's not how it normally plays out. And maybe do you have any insight as to when you actually meet, you know, maybe your potential husband, how what that should feel like and what that should look like?
Okay, that's a really good question.
Yes.
So, well, you should feel good. I mean, you should feel a certain sense of trust from the beginning. And a man should feel comfortable. She should feel comfortable with her. She should feel trust for him. There's a difference. But I want to say something about love that the movies has done to people. Falling in love is an illusion. It's a long story. It actually comes from 14th century. It's a long story. It's not something real. It was made up in the first place. So falling in love, love isn't something you're supposed to fall into like a pothole. And then you find yourself laid out over there like, I must be in love. I see the stars. No. Love has a different meaning. It's very interesting that, first of all, there's a lot more to marriage than only love, and that's something people don't get because it's a total commitment. But the word love is a verb, not a noun. It's an action. It's not like, I feel love. And that's what happens with movies. I feel love. And then what happens? You don't ask anybody any questions because you're so busy going, for 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years until you go, what happened?
What happened? You know, how come we didn't save any money? There's been, it didn't meet his family. Like where, yeah.
How come he's not nice to the server? And I never noticed that. These are things you're supposed to notice. But what does love mean? To love? Love means to give. To love means to give. This is something that's very clear in Hebrew, that to love means to give. So what does that mean? That when you're first meeting somebody, you're not really giving them anything. I know if he buys you a Coke or something, that's not called giving. So there is no real giving on these dates. But you can see if the person is a giver. And you can see if you feel like you would like to receive from him or give to him. Would you like to? If you go, I don't want to give this guy anything, then it's over. And he's not a giver. He just cares about himself. It's over. Because to love is to give.
Yeah. And
we develop the relationship later on. I mean, when it's a marriage, you develop it by giving. And then you feel more and more love.
I like that. And I think that people talk about that in terms of like generosity. You know, did he pick up the check? Did he, you know, get the movie tickets? Like, did he open the door for me? Which is a version of giving. But I feel like that's, it's almost not, it's not the kind of big version of is somebody a giver and do you want to give to them?
That's right.
You know, it's like there's like a, it's a bigger concept than like, did he pick up the bill? Which is a small version to show you. And it does say something.
It does. And it's a nice thing. But a lot of people have a big credit card and it's not a problem for them to pay the bills. So they don't think about it, maybe.
Right.
So it's not a proof that this person is a giver. On the other hand, the way they behave toward you or how are they with the server? You know, if they don't look at the server, but they automatically put a big tip on it, but they never look at her and they never say thank you. That's what you're going to get later on when you're married. You will be the server and you will not get a thank you and you will not get looked at and you will not get appreciation. Mm-hmm. You know, but being a giver, you can see it. If you look, you can see.
Right.
And that's the responsibility.
I like that.
There were two things for me when I met my husband that stuck out. One was when we were in a movie theater that he took his trash and threw it away after, because I always do that. It's my responsibility. It's my trash. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and a lot of people leave it in there. But I noticed him do it and I thought, okay, that's a check.
I like that.
Yes.
And the other was at the store in the fitting room. He hung up all his clothes and left them in the fitting room very neatly. And, you know, it's the same sort of thing. You know, it's not someone else's responsibility to hang up the clothes that you try on. But it was another just like, aha.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I like that.
You know, there's a story. When I speak for people, I very often tell this story. It's from my own dating from some time ago.
And I know that you got married like I did later, mm-hmm. right?
I have some stories.
You've got
ones I tell and ones I don't.
Show you the ones I tell and ones I don't.
That's how I got through.
That's how we're here.
That's how this happened. I mean, why would I choose to do this?
Right.
And I'm an educator. I teach. But somehow, because I know this and I learned these principles while I was dating, so it really helped me with my own dating, and I discovered that I could help other people with their dating.
I love it. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So this story, I went out with a person, and you know, I'm the type of person, I'm sitting here right now playing with the wire, by the way, on my headphones, that there was a salt and pepper shaker in the middle of the table, and we were talking, so I picked up the salt shaker, and I was just playing with it, and then at a certain point, I put it down. He picked up the salt shaker and put it right next to the pepper shaker where it had been. And I thought to myself, did that really happen? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, sometimes I could be a little scientific. I said, we're going to do this again and see what happens. So I picked up the salt shaker again. I played with it again, put it down someplace, and he picked it up again and put it right next to the pepper shaker. So for me, that doesn't work. Because I'm somewhat artistic, I need to feel I can move my chairs around or do something I like to do without having to get, you know, signed in triplicate that it's okay for me to move the chairs. Because he would come home and say, what happened to the chairs? Why'd they move? That wouldn't work for me. But I once gave a talk and told this story, and somebody in the audience said, me, he's for me. I would do exactly that.
Right.
And it was a wonderful lesson because what we see, again, when you have your own list of what you need. So for me, that wouldn't work. But for her, that would work perfectly. So it's not that we're judging somebody or rejecting them, but we're trying to find out if it's a match. If it's a match, great. And if it's not a match, some other wonderful person will find this other person just great, but not you.
Right.
So you have to call it like it is.
And I wonder if it's even, you know, part of it, I think, is knowing who you are to create your list.
Yes.
You know, that's part of the first part of the battle. It's like, what do I want?
Right.
You know, before you even get out there. And I feel like the kids we have had in here, they are not making this list on any level.
No.
Because everything is so, they're swiping on an app to find somebody to go out with. You know,
it's not the way. And this should not be a negative list. I don't want somebody who talks a lot. I don't want somebody. That's
right.
Not the kind of list. It needs to be a personal list. What I would like. That's much better. In terms of meeting people, when people really are interested in meeting somebody, then you can tell
that's
your
true.
Friends, your family, you know, I'm thinking that I'd like to meet somebody, really. Serious.
Like,
I would like
put
that.
It out there.
Put it out there. And then, you know, if you're not playing around and you mean it, because why would somebody fix you up with their sister if you don't mean it? But when you mean it and you say, you know, I really would like that. And I'm looking for this and this and this, you might say, you know, my girlfriend's sister she might be really great for you.
I like that because, yeah, actually saying the things that you put everybody kind of on task and say, like, I'm ready for this, and this is what I'm looking for. Because
right.
It gives them the direction.
Even if it goes the other way, that they say, my girlfriend's sister is perfect for you, you can also say, well, tell me something about her. And then if it doesn't sound like what you're looking for, you could say, it doesn't sound really what I'm looking for. She sounds nice, but that's not what I'm really looking for. In other words, you're not obligated to go out with somebody just because somebody suggests it.
Right.
No is fine.
No.
It saves people a lot of years. To say no when it's no.
Yes.
Yes. Because yeah, it's a yes to what you really want, and it's a no to what you don't want.
Yeah.
That's why.
One of the things we talked about that tickled me and I thought was so unique in terms of how you kind of, you know, you're a very good listener, and I think you really take people in, really mm-hmm. hear them. And you were telling me about a story where you bump up against somebody who you don't know where to go with them. So you use kind of another set of a different process with that person when you can't tell what they want, right?
Right.
Can you tell us one of those stories of one of the people you've worked with?
Well, let me tell you two. Okay. One is more general.
Okay.
And the other one is more specific. So the general story is somebody that I knew called me and said that he met a girl who I also knew and that he really liked her and he'd been dating her and things were going really great and he wanted to ask her to marry him, except there was a problem. The problem was that all his friends were completely excited when they found the right girl and he didn't feel excited. He liked her, but he didn't feel excited. So he wanted to know if there was a problem.
Ooh.
So my thought was, how am I supposed to know the answer to that question?
Right.
But because he asked me, I had to figure it out. So after a couple of moments of quiet, I asked him, because we lived in a small place where you needed a car to get around. And I asked him, how old were you when you got your first car? And he said, 17. So I asked him, and how was that for you? He said, good. Exactly. You
he
got it.
He doesn't get excited.
He said, good. That's right. He doesn't get excited that way. So I said to him, you could marry her. Why? Because if you said to me, well, I got a car, and then you said she's a nice girl, I would say there's a problem. But because you say it was nice to get a car, and by the way, it's nice. The girl's nice, too.
Right.
That is how you do what you do. And they are, by the way, very happy. They have a wonderful marriage and
I love that.
I love that.
But that's the thing, to figure out who is this person? How do they do what they do?
And I want to hear the second story. But I think what's also interesting about that is, again, there's that, you know, he was talking about his friends, but in the bigger picture, there's more of like a Hollywood idea of this is how I'm supposed to feel.
Yeah, it's very common.
You know, and so it's not lining up with that. And he may have, if he didn't have this discussion with you, think this is not right for me, this woman, because I'm not feeling this way that I'm supposed to be feeling.
It's really interesting when people shop, for example, you know, you say, I need a blue sweater. And there are people who go into the store and they say, can you tell me where the blue sweaters are? And the salesperson will say, you know, here are a few. These are really nice. And you look at them and you go, okay, that looks like a good one. I'll take it. And then there are other people, but they have to go from store to store to store and they have to try on 25 sweaters. And then they finally say, that is the one.
Right.
Okay. So somebody who is able to say on the first round, that looks nice, that's how they date also.
And it doesn't make it any less valid
not
than the person who spent a long time and
not at all. It's who you are. So that's really the story. It's who you are. So you have to know how you do what you do. That's important because the way that you date, you know, you can't try to make it work. Like I said, after you're married,
you best be trying to make it work.
Then you're committed and dedicated, and then you want it to work. And, you know, then you're the kind of person that goes and buy the sweater after, you know, just show me three sweaters, I'll pick one, and the other one has to go from store to store to store, and you have to have a lot of patience with your spouse with all that going to store to store to store. But you know what? That's who you married. So
right.
It's fine. Let him do it that way. It's okay. So
right,
that's
it's accepting, like, this is it. This is what I chose. What I chose for me.
Yes. Also, people think they're going to marry somebody very much like themselves. And that's not necessarily, or like their brother. And that's not necessarily true because people are different. I don't think people get that as much as is the truth.
Right.
That we're unique. Every person is valuable and unique. And we have to see who is this person that I'm dating. We have to appreciate ourselves and how we do what we do. That's very important.
Well, I have a lovely husband.
Great husband.
Yay.
Very lucky. But I
great guy.
I was telling Deanna recently, you know, there are certain things that I feel like, you know, when you're in a relationship, to me are a given. and to him are still not necessarily a given.
So that's after marriage.
Yes. So one of them is, you know, dinner and perhaps eating together. So sometimes if he's running around town, I think this was the example, right? He was getting a haircut and then he was starving. And so he stopped and he got himself some food.
And I think we were recording, so we were going to get out like at whatever time.
Right. And so I called him after the recording and found him eating at a restaurant. And I was like, oh, well, okay. And he's, well, what can I get you? I was just about to reach out to you and ask you what you wanted. And I was a little flabbergasted because, you know, we've been together 4 years at this point, and I feel like we've had this conversation several times. And so I was telling Deanna, I was like, you know, maybe we just don't eat dinner together. I don't know.
You know, I'm wondering if his family ate dinner together.
I asked the same question.
And I, you know, I don't think I got the answer to that.
I think you thought they did.
I think they did, but I think maybe his mom definitely is a great cook and probably created a meal. I don't know if they all ate it together. That's what I'm not clear on.
You know, you have to build a marriage. It's not just that you get married.
Right.
Right. And then you are married. Once you get married, you are married. But you have to build a marriage. And if it's something important to you and he just doesn't show up for dinner, you have to tell him this is really important to me. I think it's very helpful to make a dinner time, you know, 6 o'clock or whatever it's going to be. We're eating dinner at home together unless we decide to go out. But 6 o'clock is dinner time. And it really means a lot to me that you should be here. And I'll cook or we'll cook or however you do it. But it means a lot to me. And you need to say that. It means a lot to me. And not give up on it.
Okay. I like that.
If it were in reverse, that you ate wherever you happen to be, and he's thinking, what happened? Aren't we supposed to eat dinner together? He would say it to you a number of times until hopefully he got you to understand that this is part of his picture of married life. So you have to say, this is part of my picture of married life. This is really important to me. You should look him in the eyes and, you know, get some feedback. Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
And then you're just quiet.
Yeah.
And then he may say, no, I hear you. Can you do that? And he may say, okay, I'll do it. Let's make a time, whatever it is, 6:30. Let's make that time. And if you're going to be late, I'm going to wait for you. So please call me if you're running late so that we can do this because this is really important to me. And then you have to tell him afterwards, you know, I really appreciate this. I know this is not what you're used to. It means a lot to me, and I'm really happy to be eating dinner with you every night.
You know, it's as simple as that is, there's a vulnerability to that, you know, really and truly, to say to your partner, like, I'm just thinking of it in different things in my own life, like, to really say, like, this is important to me, and then to follow up with a thank you and commit to it and all of that, you know. It's because it's the kind of thing where a lot of things seem like, oh, I can kind of, it's not that big of a deal, you know, but it all is, it is a big deal if it's a big deal to you.
Well, there's really more to it than that. You're building a home and you're building a life.
Right.
Will you want to eat together with the children?
Right.
You know, will you want that the 6 o'clock, that when the children are old enough to eat with you, you want that everyone sits together and has dinner. Or like some people do, they take out their phone and, you know, they just look at their phone at the table. That's not okay. If that's not what you want and that's not your family picture, then you have to shape it and build it.
I can't believe it's to say this, but I think we're done. We're out of time. We have to go. That we need to have you back. There's more.
Wonderful.
Did you have fun?
Yes, a lot.
Oh, good.
It was great.
And where can people find you if they were looking on the World Wide Web? Can they connect with you at all on that internet or no?
Well, I don't have a website. People, it's usually by word of mouth and people call me.
So all right. Well, if anyone has questions, they can find me and I'll pass them along.
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, that's good.
That's great.
All right. Hannah Raquel Schusterman. How did I do?
Great.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And I hope that this will make a difference for some people.
I think it will. I think it's really good information.
Great.
It's in many ways simple. It's reduced down to simple things, but they're huge concepts that, like, people just leave out, mm-hmm. you know? Like, what do I want? Very simple. Good, yes. Great question.
And people save themselves years.
Right.
By doing it this way. Just simple. If it works, good. And if it doesn't work, fine.
No good.
Yeah. No.
That's it.
That's it.
No
yes
problem.
Yes is good. No is good. Sometimes no is better.
Right.
Because it peels away what really doesn't work.
And I think, like, stop listening to your friends. I feel like friends do you in. I'm like,
okay,
you
that's
know?
Something I really need to say.
Yeah.
It's really important that people should not talk about the person they are dating to their friends.
Mm.
This is not a team sport, you know, where all the women on your team need to know what you're talking about. It's really, if this is going to have any meaning, this dating, then you have to have privacy.
Right.
Otherwise, what happens when they do meet your friends and they say, oh, you're the guy that,
yeah,
because she told all her friends what he told her. That will not give him a sense of trust. So there has to be privacy, modesty. Think what you're saying before you say it to whom.
Right.
The fewer people you talk to, the better.
Well, look at us.
Especially
and we
detail.
Sit up here and blab on this on this mic.
This is good.
No, it is good. Okay, we have to wrap, but
great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hannah.
OMFG.
Oh, well, you know what? That was really lovely.
I thought so, too.
She's very wise.
I love the way she receives information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she really thinks about what you say
yeah.
to her, and she receives it, and she has a thought that I think is usually excellent.
And it's all such good advice. You know, I actually, like, welled up a little bit while we were sitting here because she said something that my grandfather always used to say, who – I don't know if this maybe comes from, you know, kind of a Jewish background. I have no idea. But he always said, there are givers and there are takers. And you want a giver. You want to be a giver and you want to marry a giver. And just that terminology coming out of her mouth, I was
right.
like, oh, it was just really lovely.
It's really good advice.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to remind myself to be a giver.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it's sometimes it comes so naturally to me in many ways, and then other ways I have to remind myself.
See, I'm like, I'm the opposite. I'm like too much of a giver.
I'm that too.
And then I'm like, why isn't he giving more? And that's where I need to do my work.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, there's opportunities, but I think that if that's your baseline, It's a nice way to be,
yeah.
but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Great. I hope you guys like that episode. And if you have, you know, I have Hannah Rachel Schusterman's info. How did I do, Emily, on
I'm
that?
I'm, like, covered in spit. I'm, like, drenched.
I have no nuance to it, but I'll work on it. You know, I can forward her anything, and if you have questions, we can hook that up.
And yeah, if you have questions for us that you feel like you would like us to bring her back, we would love to do that too.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Yeah. So let us know.
I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
And I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster. And we are OMFG at OMFG Pod.
And just a quick shout out, we had this is a little iTunes review by Megger Sphinx. The subject was a must VI opening. Love the chemistry between Deanna and Emily and adore their open-mindedness. Definitely check out to keep fresh.
Oh,
great.
Wonderful.
Stay fresh, guys. And thank you, Dahlia Karnevsky.
Thank you.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.